heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons.
This is Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. I'm Bill Snyder. Joining me today as host of this program is Father Bill McCarthy from My Father's House in Moodus, Connecticut. Welcome, Father McCarthy, to the program, and thank you for sharing your wisdom with us today.
Thank you, Bill, and I love Angela and all those at WSSI. Today I want to talk about ask, seek, and knock, the three mount movers. Jesus said, when you pray, ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and the doors will be open. But Father among you would hand his son a scorpion if he asked for a loaf. If you would, your witnesses know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now, those amazing scriptures, ask and you shall receive. In other words, if you really want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. What's he going to tell you? He'll tell you about what's really important, that his Father, your Father, is your merciful, loving Father, that God loves you with a merciful, loving love, that Jesus has come into your heart at your baptism and given you a new life by his Spirit. You have a new way of thinking. You can think like him. New way of loving. You can love like him. New power. You can act like him. A new family. Mary is your mother. We're all brothers and sisters. That the Eucharist is the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. That you can get your sins forgiven at confession. It's beautiful that God uses that witness, that worldview. So as we ask, but also God speaks to us, not only from without through the catechism, and through signs and symbols and people and events, and pope and bishop and scripture, but also from within, through our own thought. That's why the first six gifts of the Spirit fill our thoughts in. Inspired wisdom, understanding, knowledge, prophecy, constant discernment. So he fills his mind with insight that God is our loving Father, that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that Spirit is among us, that we need not worry because faith in him really does heal our worldview, and also heals worry and fear. He commands it 365 times, do not worry. Now, how do we do that? He tells us by putting your faith in the Father, but your faith also in me. So every time you and I can take a worry, fear, and if they give it to God and let go of it, God will heal it. Hope heals depression and failure. Every time you put your weaknesses in God's hand, God will strengthen you. That's the secret of AA. Without God, we can't do it, but in him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's our hope. And God's love is loneliness and our poor self-image. Because God loves you, created you to be a unique, incomparable miracle and masterpiece of nature and grace. And so that's what the first three keys. Faith heals worry and fear and vision. Hope heals depression and failure. God's love heals loneliness and rejection. And his forgiveness, especially the sacrament reconciliation during this year of mercy, heals us of sin and guilt and of bitterness and hatred. Every time that you and I go to confession, three miracles. I mean, awesome. First, every bit of sin and guilt is washed clean through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. Second, all bitterness and hatred, we got to forgive. And thirdly, we're given the power to forgive ourselves. So that's asking. And then we seek for a deeper, more personal relationship with him. To see him even more clearly today than we did yesterday. To see him in Jean and Jane and Bill and Angela. To see him in all the people in our line. To see him in the Eucharist. To see him more clearly, to love him more dearly, and to follow him more nearly. And then we knock. Very often we don't know which road to take. There are two alternatives, and even three. And the Holy Spirit is the selector of the ray. The Lord, which way do you want me to go? And he'll tell you, either through scripture or through someone else, or through some sign, or through your own thought. Now that's God's wisdom, but there's an easy way to learn it. Years ago, I read a book by a minister entitled, Everything I Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. 1 Thessalonians 2, hold hands, share your cookies, say I'm sorry. Don't take the biggest piece. Watch behind your ears. Look before you cross the street. Don't say that word. I was thinking about that. I said, boy, we needed more than in America today. 1 + 1 = 2. I said, wow, that's amazing. That everything is what it is. That was true in mathematics, in chemistry, in history, in geography, in sociology, in metaphysics. That every single thing, everything without exception, is what it is. A lamp is a lamp as I look at it. A picture is a picture. A cross is a cross. A calendar is a calendar. A man is a man, and a woman is a woman. That everything, every single thing is what it is. You say, well, that flies in the face of this new modern heresy of relativism. That people honestly think they have a right to their own opinion, even though it's wrong, and even if it's evil. No, that's not true. If you pull that out in first grade, 1 + 1 = 3, that's my opinion, or 3 + 3 = 7, that's my opinion, you're a flunk first grade man. That everything you needed to know, you learned in kindergarten. 1 + 1 = 2. And your opinion better be based upon facts, on truth, on reality. If it's not, you'll get it marked wrong. And if you keep on getting it wrong, you'll flunk math. Yes, in kindergarten, we learned that 1 + 1 = 2, and only 2. Not only everything is what it is, but it's only what it is. A lamp is only a lamp. A boy is only a boy, a son. Second, we want to share our cookies. And when we realize that 80% of the world goes a bit hungry, we're not sharing our cookies. That we have enough money to feed the world, but we don't share. And yet we have an obligation, especially Pope Francis said, to share with the poor. Yes, be willing to share your cookies, share your home, share your wealth. Yes, share your cookies. We teach that to little children, but the Lord said, we adults need to learn it. You see, the problem is, we want children to become adults. And Jesus said, no, we have to be converted and become like them, as open, as simple, as pure as little children. We don't want them to watch adult movies. We want to watch the movies that we would show to kids. And say, I'm sorry, accountability. What a lesson we can teach the White House. What a lesson we can teach politicians. If you do something wrong, admit it. Say you're sorry. Accountability is virtually unknown in politics today. That 55% of all men never say I'm sorry. They never hold themselves accountable. Yet we teach little kids to do it. To make mistakes, say I'm sorry. If I'm your brother, say I'm sorry. Shake hands. Then don't take the biggest piece. And that's quite a thing that we have to share once again. That we don't need the biggest piece. If we're making extra money, we can get from our surplus. Not simply from our substance, rather, not simply from our surplus. St. John Paul said that at Yankee Stadium. The vastness of the world is at your door. Share from your substance, not simply from your surplus. We can give a lot more than we get, at least 10%. But many of us can give 50% to the causes of poor, to help people be better. To help kids have better education. We can be willing to share the biggest speech. Then, wash behind your ears. Remember that? Don't just wash your hands. Your mother said, wash behind your ears. You say, well, that's, nobody sees that. And yet, we have to wash behind our ears because there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we need to clean up. Lobbyists do a lot of stuff in the back room. Politicians do a lot of things in the back room. Crooks do a lot of things in the back room. Yes, we got to get behind the ears, behind the scene, and watch behind our ears. And look before you cross the street. It's very important we hold ourselves accountable, that we have to look before we do something. If you want to have this program, you have to realize we have to ask God to show us the plan. The Lord brings to naught the plans of nations. You know, politicians think that they have a plan to reform America. America is a nation under God. We begin to throw that away. That in 1963, just 5 members of our Supreme Court, all liberal, threw it away. They said, despite the fact that Congress should make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion, they threw it out. They threw out the Ten Commandments, they threw out prayer, they threw out the Bible reading for kids. And what happens to our schools? They're in a mess. That they're filled with drugs and alcohol and promiscuity. Why? You throw away the light. Everyone knows you're specific for your place. You turn on the light, the place falls in darkness. Little kids understand that. We need to learn that. We need to get away from all the lobbies, all they're doing in the back scene. They're polluting our water throughout the world. Well, there's laws in America, you say, and they follow them death, but then they put them on barges and take it out over to Africa and they dump it there. That's wrong. You got to watch behind the ears. Forget the lobbyists. Lobbyists, by and large, are a scandal. Why should certain rich people have a lobby that takes away the common good? If a lobby works for the common good, which they, by and large, they don't, they'd be moral. If they're working for vested interests, they're immoral. That's not God's common good way. So we have to be able to clean up what goes on behind the scenes, to watch behind the ears, and to look before you cross the street. That God has a plan, and the Lord brings to naught the plans of nations. He wants us to look and see what we're doing to the world and to really make plans to stop doing it. He wants to see, clean up the act and bring us as a nation under God once again, that we are God's people. And then don't say any bad words. That pornography, promiscuity are everywhere. And we use pornography to entice our kids. If we can get rid of the pornography that just affects children, we get rid of all pornography. It's almost all pornography affects kids. That a major telephone company has gone after tweens, girls between the ages of 11 and 16 with very pornographic material. Why? Because there's money in it. When Christians like me objected to it, they said, well, it's legal. The fact that it's legal does not mean it's moral. You see, God's law trumps American law. The laws and institutions of this nation must necessarily be based upon and embody the life and teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. Is that me saying that? No, that's the Supreme Court saying that. I quote, laws and institutions of this nation must necessarily be based upon and embody the life and teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. So this is my advice. What we teach children in first grade and kindergarten, teach yourself. 1 + 1 = 2. Truth is true. Hold hands. Don't do it alone. Share your cookies. Reach out to the poor. Say I'm sorry. Hold yourself accountable. Don't take the biggest piece. Share with the lonely and the poor. Watch behind the ears. Get behind the scenes and see what's going on and watch that out. And look before you cross the street. Make plans for the future the way God wants it to happen. And don't say any bad words. And don't give any pornography to kids. Yes, the Lord said we got to become like little children. And the average father, the average mother, even in the mafia, they'll do more for the kids than they do for themselves. The average mother who drinks does not want her girls to drink. The average mother who's permissive does not want her children to be permissive. Yes, we have become like little children, as simple as open. And what we teach them in first grade, be good for us to listen to and learn ourselves. So we're going to take a break now, and then we're going to come back and talk about asking, seeking, and knocking.
Did you know you can listen to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio online? Visit WSFIRadio.org and click on Listen Live. That's WSFIRadio.org and Listen Live.
Listen at 7 o'clock p.m. every Tuesday to WSFI Spotlight, a half-hour conversation with outstanding Catholics from our community and around the world. WSFI Spotlight re-airs on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. or listen on demand anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Visit WSFIRadio.org for more information. It's WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light, only on WSFI Catholic Radio Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m.
Hi, this is Wes Riccio from the Holy Family Catholic Bookstore, wishing the fullness of God's blessings upon all those who will soon be receiving a sacrament for the first time. If you have a child, grandchild, or godchild being baptized, receiving their first Holy Communion, or being confirmed, remember that Holy Family has the area's largest selection of gifts, accessories, and supplies to make their special day more memorable. The Holy Family Catholic Bookstore is at 9249 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. More information, including a virtual tour, is available on Facebook.
Do you like hearing Catholic radio in our area? We need your support. Send your tax-deductible donation to WSFI, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048.
Welcome back to
Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. You are listening to the voice of Father Bill McCarthy today, and he is sharing with us.
The Lord said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and shall be open. If you really want to know what God wants to do, James says, James 1:5, ask him, and he'll gladly tell you. But God wants to speak to us clearly. If we spend quiet time in the day with the Word, that's in the New Testament, if we write down and come to us and meditate upon it, we realize that God speaks us from without, through signs and catechism and Pope and Bishop and parents and friends, but also from within to our own lives. We listen to, discern, and obey God's voice. That God guides us. Now, I teach people all the time how to keep a spiritual journal. I spend quiet time saying after contrition, ask the Lord to speak to you now from within through your own thought. And as you learn to listen, you come to understand how often, how powerful, how personal, how practical God speaks to you. That God speaks to us all the time. He wants us to be able to hear his voice. So God speaks to us, so you ask him. And what will God tell you? He'll tell you, I love you. He'll say, I forgive you. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you where to go. We said, that's amazing. You mean that God created the universe is so interested in me that he's come to indwell my spirit, and that from within as well as from without, he talks to me. Yes, my sheep hear my voice. If you want to hear God's voice, ask him. Now, when you ask him, things will come to you. Now, how do you know that those thoughts that come into your mind when you ask are from him? Listen carefully. Because you have asked him. He doesn't say, ask, and I'll confuse you. I'll let Satan talk to you. I'll let other people talk to you. No, he said, ask, and I'll make sure that you receive. Our responsibility to ask. God's responsibility is to make sure we receive when we ask. So God will always do what he has to do. So when you ask him, and things come to you, know that they're coming from God. Why? Because you ask. You say, well, that's so simple. Ask, and you shall receive. So I ask and I receive. And God tells me over and again what to do, how to live, how to help people. When I hear confession, very often I'll say, Lord, give me a word for the person I ask for them. And out of my mouth and the maid will come the words that the Spirit puts in my heart and mind at that time. Ask and you shall seek. What do we seek for? We seek for a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus. We seek him in all of our ways. And as you seek him, you find him. You find him in this person. You can find him in Bill, in Angela. You can find him in all the wonderful people in your life. And also you can find him in the Eucharist. You can see his blood upon the rose. You see his cross in every tree. Because you're looking for him, you see him all over the place. You see him in the sunset. You see the beauty of flowers and roses especially. So ask him in, not. And God will open the doors for you. Now, this is the year of divine mercy. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, said, this mystery of communion, which makes the Church as a sign of Father's love, grows and matures in our hearts when the love which we recognize in the cross of Christ and which we immerse ourselves enables us to love as we are loved. It's the unending love which has the faith of forgiveness and mercy. You see, mercy is the essence of the gospel. God the Father loves us with a merciful and everlasting love. You know, I ask people the question, can a good person go to heaven? The answer is tricky. Technically, the answer is no. Why not? Because we're all sinners. You and I are going to go to heaven because of the mercy of God that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. Without that, we wouldn't make it. We are saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus, by the blood of Christ. So can a good person go to heaven? Yes, if we've been cleansed by the merciful love of God. So mercy is God's great gift. Now, Jesus tells us a beautiful story about the prodigal son. It was the merciful father who looked over the horizon and saw the kid coming home. The father who ran to him, and the kid wanted to say, treat me like, he put his hand over his mouth. The Holy Father said, no, no, you're my son. Then he said to the first servant, take the robe of righteousness, put it over my son. He stinks. He's been with the pig. I do not want him to walk shamefacedly through the town. That's my son. Put the robe on him. Then the second servant said, put the ring back on his finger. That's no hireling. That's my beloved son. That's my son. That's my boy. put the ring and remind him, that's my son. And then take the shoes to the household. Remind him that everything I have is his. That's my boy. He's my son. And then let's kill this dead cat. And then the celebration began. That's God. God is waiting for us to come back to him. We may stray like the lost sheep, but he goes in search for us like the hound of heaven. When he finds us, he puts us on his shoulders and he takes us back into the kingdom. There's more joy for one sinner doing penance than over 99 just people who have no need to tell him. But we have to remind the world, we have a lot of sin out there. The people are living in invalid unions, the people who are stealing, people who are lying, people who are lustful, people who are greedy. In fact, pride, lust, and greed indulge the hearts of most Americans. But Jesus said, you know, the road to heaven is narrow, and few there are to find it. That most people, as I see it, are living in a state of mortal sin. They need to come back to God. They need to repent. If they don't repent, God can't forgive them. A lot of people don't realize that even God, because of the way it's set up, cannot forgive an unrepentant sinner. Why? Because we have to invite God back into our heart. We have to say, I'm sorry, and make a firm purpose not to sin again. We have to do that if we want God's merciful love to enter our heart. So this is a very special year. The year of divine mercy, and the Holy Father sets a certain doors to mercy. In the cathedral there, in certain churches, you walk through those doors. He said, first of all, you got to walk through the door. Then you got to say the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. That's the first thing you have to do. The second thing you have to do, you have to practice the spiritual and corporate works of mercy. You have to do that. And you have to receive the communion within the octave and go to confession. Now, you don't have to go to confession every time you receive the indulgence. It's a plenty of indulgence. You can receive that every day. But you have to receive the communion every day to receive the indulgence every day. Then you have to practice spiritual and corporate works of mercy. You have to feed the hungry. You drink to the thirsty. You clothe the naked. You have to bury the dead. You have to visit the imprisoned. The spiritual works, you have to instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful. That's a good one. You know, we have an obligation to point out the wrongs to our loved one. People say, well, wait a minute. I mean, I have an obligation to point out the faults and failings of those that I love, of course. That's the way they learn. If the parents neglect that, you're going to have very undisciplined kids. You can't neglect that. That we preach have to point out that certain things are wrong. That things people don't want, that artificial contraception is an evil. That sodomy is a sin. That watching pornography on television is wrong. That lying on our income tax is wrong. A lot of sin that people need to be have pointed out. And first of all, when somebody does something wrong in your family, don't pout. Don't give them a silent treatment. Rather, pray for the right words, the right time, and go to them with humility and love, say, and point out the issue and speak it out. If that doesn't work, as you said, bring in the best friend. If that doesn't work, bring in your favorite priest. So these are just certain things that we're doing as we ask and seek and knock for God's merciful doors to be opened in our own minds and hearts.
Father, we have a few requests. First of all, I want to begin with a thanksgiving. Last week, we had a caller who identified herself as Diana, and she mentioned to us in email that she was planning on having surgery last week, and she was nervous about having to have some of her toes amputated, and the toes did not need to be amputated, and the surgery was successful. So, Father, if you could just pray a prayer of thanksgiving for her.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Diana's toes, you know. That our toes are very, very important. Dana has a beautiful song, My Little Toes. We thank God for little toes. We take them for granted, but, you know, you lose your toes, you lose some of your balance. So, Lord, thank you for restoring Diana's toes. Lord, the very hairs of our heads are numbered, and our toes are priceless to you. So thank you for healing Diana's toes.
And, Father, we also would like to extend another prayer for Father John Grigas, who is battling some severe health issues, and we're constantly praying for him here at WSFI, and just want to take the opportunity to continue to lift him up in prayer. If you would do so, that would be great.
Lord, we lift up Father John Grigas. Lord, we know how much you love your priests. They are your beloved sons. We thank you for his priesthood. We thank you for all the good he's done for so many people. Lord, heal him. You want them strong. You want them strong physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Lord, you promise to heal us whole, make us whole men, whole priests, and whole relationship. So please, Lord, we thank you, brother. Good things you've given to Father John as signs of your love, and now heal him. Heal him spiritually, heal him physically, heal him emotionally. Make him a whole priest and a whole relationship. For this we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, we also have Monica from Winchester House. She needs some prayers. Her back, she also had a stroke with her on her right side there. So if you could please pray a prayer for Monica.
Dear Jesus, and you and St. Monica, the mother of St. Augustine, we ask you heal Monica. Heal every part of her being. Let her know how special she is. And Monica, St. Monica, as you and all the saints and angels intercede for Monica, please heal her. Heal every aspect of her being. We ask you this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. One more prayer request, Father, for Jerry Sadler. Jerry has a aortic valve that is in need of repair and also some blood clots. So if you could pray for Jerry, that would be wonderful.
Lord, we lift to Jerry. Please heal her aorta, the valve. Heal the blood clots. Lord, right now, with your Holy Spirit as a rotary, go into all those veins and you just clean out anything in them that's not of you, so that that blood flows freely through her aorta valve, through her blood. And Lord, make Jerry Sadler full and healed in your precious name. Amen.
Could we also extend a prayer for Michelle, who has pancreatic cancer? She is also pregnant with her fifth child. So if you could extend a prayer for her as well.
Lord, we lift to Michelle in a very special way. She's pregnant her fifth child. She has pancreatic cancer. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of being such a wonderful mother, for bringing into the world five children who worship you together. Now she needs healing, Lord. Heal her pancreatic cancer. Heal her and bring the child to light with a new and glorious day. Thank you for the gift of motherhood. These wonderful people who do your work, who next to the priesthood bring into the world children to honor you and worship you forever and ever. Lord, please heal Michelle. We ask this in the precious name, to the blood and cross of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. This is kind of a dual-part request. Number one is to pray for the soul of Justice Scalia and also for God's will to be enacted in the choice of the next Supreme Court justice of this country.
Lord, we thank you for Antoine Scalia. What a marvelous man. Certainly the father of nine, the father of the country in so many ways, who stood strong that this was a nation under God. We've been so pro-life, pro-family, pro-decency. We've been such a wonderful conservative voice. And Lord, please raise up his son to follow in his footsteps. And please give the power to be, the right to choose the right person. If that's the next president in your will, so be it. We want the right person to be chosen, a person who stands by family values, to be pro-life, pro-family, for marriage, and the traditional family values. We ask you this in your precious name.
Father, can we have your priestly blessing?
May the Spirit descend upon all of you. May he enlighten your mind with true wisdom and flame your heart to his love for all, especially his merciful, forgiving love. Empower your life and spirit that may walk always in his ways, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. This has been an episode of Healing the Whole Person. Until next time, from all of us here at WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, may God bless you. I'm Bill Snyder. You have been listening to Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. For more information about this program or to purchase additional CD copies, please call us at 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455.
Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.